If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release, or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures, independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, February the 3rd, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. Welcome back to the second half of the show. We have another fabulous guest to introduce you to shortly. We've got loads more tweets coming in. Do keep tweeting us in by tweeting me at VanillaWeb, or you can call me on 01303 874 998, or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. I've got an email that I want to start off by reading because it's about an event that's happening tonight, so I need to tell you about this fairly soon. Oh, sorry, in fact, that's a big fat lie. It's happening next Tuesday night. On Tuesday, February the 10th at 6 p.m, and it's a Federation of Small Business networking event, and it enables you to check in about your FSB benefits. So they're going to give you an update on all the benefits you have of belonging to the FSB, and the event is taking place at the absolutely fabulous Westinghanger Castle.
Oh, just around the corner from us.
It's next Tuesday, February the 10th.
Godmersham Game can go.
They can indeed.
And property company can go.
Exactly. It's February the 10th, next Tuesday, 6 p.m. at Westinghanger Castle in Hythe. It's 6 till 7:30 p.m. The postcode is CT214HX. Do you want to do that phonetically, Jules?
Charlie Tango.
Oh, she got two right. Charlie Tango 21.
Do you know why I know that?
No, go on.
Because my address, isn't it? Charlie Tango.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm really Quebec Lima. I'm really good on my address.
Yeah, you're good at your Charlie Tango. Yeah. So it's Charlie Tango 21 4 HX.
Harry Xylophone.
Exactly, of course it is.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous, darling. You just soon find your way.
You're going to hear from membership advisor Keith Collier on how you can make the most out of your FSB membership and save your business thousands of pounds, allegedly. And you can book by going to eventbrite.co.uk/FSB new member meetup, Westinghanger Castle, tickets. We will put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. But do check it out. That's next Tuesday, February the 10th, 6 p.m. at Westinghanger Castle.
I think I should go to that.
I think you should too.
So it's next
I'm going.
So if I just stay on here after Bunker, then you can buy me a couple of bottles or something, and then we'll just
I'll drive you over there if you want.
Yeah, that would be good.
And then leave you there.
I could probably be in a little four-poster bed there.
You probably could, yeah, or the moat is more likely.
The moat?
Bobbing in the moat.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very nice. Sounds a bit gloomy.
Don't you think?
Has she got a moat?
She will have by the time I get there.
Have you actually been to the castle?
No.
Okay, so what time is it? Next
6 p.m.
Right.
Until 7:30 p.m.
I'll get someone to come and let my dog out, Adrian Kearney.
10th.
And then I can go.
Fantastic. Okay. Right. After all of that, it's now an absolute pleasure to welcome our second guest of the day, and for the first time onto the Business Bunker Show, the lovely Jackie Brooker from Dakota Blue Consulting. Jackie, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on here. Why don't you kick off by telling us about Dakota Blue? And I know you're a fairly new organisation, and one of the things I want to explore with you, apart from what it is you do and how you do it and all the other things, is your thoughts and feelings into your entrepreneurial and business activities and how much fun you're having doing it. But tell us what you do for us to begin with, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Paul and Jules, for having me on the show. Really do appreciate it. And it's been such great fun. And thank you to, is it Debbie for the
Linton,
chocolates?
Debbie Carter.
Yeah. Oh, from Linton. Yes. They are just divine chocolates.
Sweetie porn.
Yes, I shall certainly be making lots of hints to husband about Valentine's Day, seeing as that's my wedding anniversary as well.
Oh, wow. How romantic is that?
It's only because he'd remember.
how many years?
It will be... 15 years this year.
Wow.
My goodness.
And you became
me.
A Brooker.
And I became a Brooker,
which is my
yes.
knee name.
Yes. So, and we're not related, unfortunately.
No, we're not,
George.
But we must be somewhere along the
way.
Cool, that must have been a big sigh of relief in your head. When you found that
I'd invited myself around for Christmas and everything.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, you're still more than welcome.
December 25th, it's in my diary.
Excellent. Okay, so Dakota Blue, what do we do? Mm. We're in the business of helping companies to make sure they've got the right people and the right management skills to manage those people and the right environment to make sure you get the best from those people. So really, at the end of the day, it's people that deliver your business performance.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
we want to make sure that you've got the right people in your business to deliver on that performance.
Cool. So give us a bit of background to you as well, because you've got a... I was going to say long, but that sounded rude. An in-depth background in human resource management. So tell us a little bit about you and how you came to offering this as a business service as well.
Absolutely. So my original starting out in this was a degree in psychology.
Wow.
So originally...
She's
gonna...
weird. Yeah, she's weird.
Well, actually, the Brooker family always said that I was just with my husband because I was studying him as a...
A case study.
A case study, yeah.
Yeah. Like
I'm
it,
sure
yeah.
If you're listening, Paul, I love you dearly. But, yeah, so I started with a degree in psychology and original plans to be a clinical psychologist.
Right, okay.
But did a bit of a placement and decided not the profession for me. So I have to say, like a lot of HR professionals say, I stumbled into HR and found I loved it.
Yeah.
And it was a profession I've stuck with for the last 18 years. Mm. I've done my professional qualification in CIPD.
Right.
I've done a master's in international HR.
Right.
And I've been really lucky to work with some real big global organisations in my career. Mm. Really learning a lot of the skills for strategic HR, how to be a real business partner. Mm. And a lot of that, when you work in big organisations, is you really learn how business works.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you really get an understanding of what people need to do to make their business work, and therefore what are the implications for your people. Mm. So decision to start, I've always wanted to have my own company, and I suppose a turning point in my life was I was in a role with lots of global travel, and I have two small children.
Right.
So a bit about Jules' work-life balance.
Very interesting.
Mm. Very interesting. I came across a term a little while ago, work-life integration, and right. I think that for me sums it up a lot better.
Sure.
It's how you integrate the two. So a bit about my journey so far. Mm. That was one of the stimuluses for starting the business, but thinking about, you know, where can I add value to these companies? Mm. It's about really bringing that strategic knowledge and knowledge from big companies into how can I help business leaders really think about their people strategy, and then down to the practical level, so how do you actually do that? So for example, you might have a plan to grow your business, but you need to really think about long term, who are the people you need in your business, what's the right fit, what's the right skills, once you've got them, how do you develop them, how do you engage them, reward them, and then thinking about how do you measure the investment that you're putting into your people in your business. And
it's
an area that gets forgotten quite a lot.
Absolutely. And I was just going to make the point, and I was going to make it. I wasn't going to make you make it because you probably disagree with this. But one of the things that frustrates me working in the employment industry, as it were, and especially with smaller and medium sized businesses, is just how little thought and effort they put into recruitment planning, hiring, succession planning, and all those kind of people related things. And a lot of it obviously is because they lack the skills, they lack the ability, but also a lot of entrepreneurs or business people didn't go into business to manage people. Yeah. They went into business because they know about computers or printing or whatever their business is, and that's the bit they like doing, and the rest of it kind of has to come along some point, and they don't put much effort into that. And that's when you start to get tears before bedtime quite a lot. And I guess from your point of view, that presents quite an opportunity, but also a challenge, because you've got to get people to even start focusing on that and realising they have a need so that you can fill it for them, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you find that? Do you find that it is something, especially, you know, larger companies tend to have big HR departments, and some of them even have, I worked for an organisation once that had a succession planning manager, you know. I always thought that was a bit of a misnomer, because it just, how many people leave every week, you know? you get so many people leave this god-awful organisation that you have to have someone to manage it, right? But is that something that you find that it's fairly difficult getting people to focus on?
Absolutely. And I think when business leaders are really busy leading their business, they tend to think reactively about the people issues they're dealing with, rather than taking the time to step back and think about, if this is our vision and our business strategy for where we're going, what does that mean in terms of my people? How am I going to bring my people along? So really getting them to understand there is a need to think about the people more strategically is quite a challenge. So one of the things that we do to maybe help businesses with that is we offer to go in and do a free assessment.
Right, okay.
Let's look at your people strategy, your people policies, procedures, your activities you have in place, and give you some recommendations. And we'll be honest, if you're doing a great job, then that's brilliant, because we learn from that as well. What are the great things you're doing? But also being able to make some recommendations. So, for example, I've made some recommendations recently to a couple of companies about, they have a big growth strategy, but you look at their website and would ask yourself, why would I want to come and work for you? They've, you know, their employer branding is not very inspiring and motivating. And so there's lots companies can do to actually get out to that audience, those potential recruits in the future, to say, hey, why don't you come and work for us? It's a really exciting company. We're on a real growth journey. We've got lots of exciting projects. And there's lots of simple things you can do in that regard. So
I'm smiling at you like a baboon for a particular reason.
That's just your normal face.
I thought it was just because you thought I was great.
It is because you're great. And it's because
usual baboon face.
Yeah. Because you're hitting every nail here, because as the chief executive of Jobs in Kent, obviously we carry lots and lots of job adverts, and the job market's very buoyant at the moment. We're going to talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
But again, one of the things that drives me to distraction is the appalling quality of adverts a lot of employers put out. And you think, why would any sane person want to work for you? You know, I need to be careful here, but I had one a while ago that somebody put an advert on, and they said, well, we're not getting much of a response here. And I had a look at it, and I, really?
No wonder.
I did. I said, I've got to be blatantly honest. How you expect anybody to want to come and work for you, I do not know. You know, we have a situation where we have skill shortages here. You are actually competing for skilled people in this marketplace, and you make it sound more like, you know, a prison sentence. And the way that you've written the advert just is not nice at all. It was all, have this, have this, have this, have this, be here at 9, go home at 5, if you do that, duh. And there was no other incentive for wanting to attract anyone in.
Yeah.
So I love what you're saying, because that is really important. It is a two-way process. A lot of employers think, you know, just the very act that they've got a job vacancy should make everybody eternally grateful to come and work for them. And it ain't like that. You know, especially in some fields, you've got to work really hard to attract the right people and the right type of people. And it is that about the right people.
Yes.
Because so many people companies will have an advert that demands things, and you say to them sometimes, is that really necessary? And they go, no. Well, why have you put it in the ad? Well, because everybody puts it in the ad. Really?
And that's one of the big tips I would give to people. That,
I'm sorry, I didn't steal your tips.
No, that's absolutely fine. But it's about actually thinking longer term, what is it you actually want? Because so often you see this big long list that, you know, only a superhero could actually fill that position.
Yeah.
But also, it's not really what that they need in terms of the skills, and they're actually looking for a certain type of person with a certain behavioural skills that they can really apply to the job. So it might be someone who has to do a number of different activities, maybe marketing, maybe HR, and so you need someone who's quite versatile, adaptable to change, but they don't convey that. And so it's really thinking about what are the behaviours you need. And, you know, I always think skills can be taught, attitudes can't. And so it's more about, you know, attitudes can be changed sometimes. And, you know, with the people like Don who do mentoring and coaching, which is really great, but that can sometimes be a longer process. So if you can get the right people in first and then do mentoring and coaching, you're onto a winner because you're really getting someone who's hitting the ground running.
It's odd, isn't it, how we go about some of these things and how we look at things. I'm going to tell you this, and when I tell people this, they kind of, their faces drop, and then they don't know whether to believe me or not. But I was privy to a number of very robust surveys about the business environment and a business workplace. And I don't know if you know, at the moment, that we've created nearly 2 million new jobs in the last 18 months in this country. And 70% of those are with SMEs. All the growth is happening with small and medium-sized businesses and businesses that employ less than 50 people.
Yeah.
That's where all the growth is coming from. And the survey data that I saw surveyed 20,000 small businesses. It was a big survey, okay? And they asked about their attitude towards hiring. And 4% said they were interested in qualifications. Just 4%.
Wow.
Yeah. The 48% said, without attitude, I don't care. You can have all the qualifications in the world, but if you've got the wrong attitude, I'm not interested. And sadly, and this is a political problem, we have so devalued GCSEs and A-levels in this country now that employers just don't care. They couldn't care less. It means it's meaningless. And what most people now are saying, look, we can train that. We can train skills. What we want is attitude. And you're absolutely right. If you can hire the right attitude and then have Don there as well to develop that attitude and grow it and mentor it, that's a winning formula.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it goes back to parents, you know, giving your children, as you're bringing them up, giving them life skills of how to answer the telephone, how to give people eye contact, how to present yourself, how to dress.
Jules does. Jules makes all of her kids operate her call centre.
I do.
They're not allowed supper until they made 5 sales calls a day.
Excellent.
But, you know, life skills as well. It's not just down to schools, is it? It's down to family and everything. And Get as much experience as you can.
Absolutely, and I think that's really important for younger people today, is no matter what it is, it doesn't matter if, you know, you're just working in a bar or working in a restaurant, you know, it's all work experience, and it really counts.
It does, absolutely.
And that's something to put on your CV to say that you've had the courage to go out there to find some work, to get some skills and experience, you know. Working in those types of industries, you learn so many skills.
Front
absolutely.
Of house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, front of house. Customer service skills. Yeah. You understand what's important.
Absolutely.
And those are all things you can demonstrate to potential employers in the future
absolutely.
That you've actually applied those skills. And that does demonstrate as well, you know, the attitude that you want to work and that you've gone out there seeking it yourself. So to any young people out there, I would say don't worry about the type of job. Just go get some experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've got another funny story about that as well. But you're absolutely right. And those kind of jobs, it isn't just the CV type based experience. Like I had a job and I got up and I did it. It is actually a massive, massive learning curve.
Yes.
Because dealing with the public is one of the hardest things you can do. And it's really interesting. My youngest son at the moment is working in a bar in Bristol as a part-time thing that he's doing. And he was telling us about it the other day. And he was saying they're really good employers where he works. They're really good and they've got all these things. And one of the things I was asking him how he copes with this, that and the other. And he said, I said, how do you deal with people that have had too much to drink? And he said, well, we have an in-house policy, actually. If people are drinking shorts, like gin and tonic or or
shots.
Yeah, vodka like and coke.
Tequilas and Jager bombs.
And they're clearly drunk. He said, we're instructed to only serve them the soft drink and only charge them for the soft drink. He said, because they don't notice because they're so drunk. So if they ask for a vodka and coke or rum and coke, we just give them a coke and charge them for the coke so that they don't overdrink. So, and Stu, my son, my youngest son, 6'5", he's a big lad. And I said, and what if they get leery? He said, I'm not allowed to hit them. Are you not? He said, no. That's no good, is it?
What a responsible employer, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Great. No, absolutely, yeah, really good.
Yeah.
But that kind of work experience is absolutely invaluable because yes. it brings you into contact with the public and yeah. all the learning experiences from that.
Yeah.
I've had a tweet about you, Jackie,
from
Jane Ollis, who's the Managing Director of Rift Accounting, who are great sponsors and supporters of the Business Bunker Show. And Jane says, Jackie's a great guest and I'm really enjoying listening to her and I'm sure she's got more great tips to share.
Oh, I have to say, am I allowed to say this first?
Yes, but, of course.
Rift are my accountants and they have been absolutely fabulous because I love their branding and what they say, you know, they're truly your business guardians because they are. I've had so much advice from them. So you talked to Paul about, you know, my experience of starting up my own business. They have been absolutely instrumental in terms of being sort of my business coach mentor, if you like, in terms of what I should be doing, not just in terms of the financials, but the marketing, the people I should be talking to. And they're very well connected in Kent. So, of course, they know you guys.
Yes, they're great supporters of us. And in fact, they're also my accountants too in a couple of my businesses. And they are brilliant.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Well, look out. I'm doing some blogging for them. So to help give a lot of their customers, but obviously it's through their website, so everybody can see it. But it's going to be coming up some tips on if you are looking to recruit, what are the things you should do? How do you write a really inspiring job description? Mm. Not this 4-page
good idea
thing. So just some real sort of short tips on what you should think about in the recruiting process.
So. Cool. Right, we got hundreds of tweets and loads of things going on. So let's reinforce that. Let's go with that again, because this whole recruitment process is something that people do so poorly, and it has such a profound effect on everything. And we don't want to do Don out of work eventually putting it right.
No.
But of course, what Don does has far more applications than just putting things right like that. So let's emphasise those tips again. What are the kind of things that we really want people to focus on when they are going through the recruiting process?
Okay. So the first thing I would say is, think about your business strategy. Don't get into panic mode thinking, what do I need right now? I need someone to do this big load of work that's just come in. Mm. Really think about what's the type of person and the skills you want going forward to really help you frame the type of person you're looking for. That would be my first point. The second one is, don't underestimate the time that it takes to get the right person.
Absolutely.
Because so many times I've seen businesses take second best, if you like. Well, they're not really right, but, you know, that's all we can find.
Yeah.
And therefore, 6 months, a year down the line, they end up actually re-recruiting again. Mm. So really take the time. Give yourself at least 6 months, I would say, because right. you have to factor in where you're going to find the person, going through the interview process. Once you've then offered, it's then about waiting for the notice period to expire, yeah, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, don't underestimate that time. I think the third thing would be, get your questions right. Think about some really good questions that will get to the bottom of what that person is really like. I was talking to a small business yesterday and they were saying that was their biggest challenge. And when I actually probed this lady, she was actually saying she'd actually been asked closed questions, not giving them the answers, the leading questions. And so, you know, my advice would be, ask the skill-based questions. Give me an example of a time when.
Yeah.
Or if you had this situation, how would you handle that situation? It will tell you a lot more about the person, not just their skills, but also their behaviour and their attitude and approach to those types of situations.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, those open-end, that's a great
because you get the old, you get the old ubiquitous, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time type of question, which is just nonsense, isn't it? Utter nonsense.
Well, anyone worth their salt would turn around and say, well, where would you see me? What are my opportunities in this company in 5 years' time? Yeah. So, you know, and that part comes back to the selling part of it.
Yeah, exactly. So. No, and I love that evidence-based things, because it's one of the things we do quite badly, is give it evidence for things that we do. And it's important, and it's actually by giving a piece of evidence in just a short statement, you can actually say an awful lot and tell an awful lot about someone just by the things they've actually done.
Yes.
Rather than the words they actually use to describe what they do. Years and years ago, this makes me laugh as well, I was head of IT for an investment bank, and for some reason I had to take a turn as chair of the graduate intake panel, which made me laugh, not least of which because they solemnly told everybody that turned up that they only ever hired first from Oxford, Cambridge or Harvard. And I left school when I was 14, and I was the chair of the hiring panel. So we glossed over that. But you'd quite often get people come in for an interview and would be absolutely brilliant at telling you stuff. But it was just memorised stuff, you know. Yeah. You go, and then you go, yeah. But what have you actually done?
Take them off piece.
And then you know it could all fall apart, or you know, go on from there. So absolutely right. Yeah. I love those tips.
So what you're saying is that some people can just talk the talk, but you've got to scratch out from that and get down to the nitty-gritty and find out what they actually are going to do, rather than all the buzzwords that they can say.
Exactly, because people will come to an interview telling you what they think you want to hear.
Yeah.
So it's asking questions in the right way that will get to the bottom of, you know, what would that person really do? Mm. So they probably have a perception of what you want them to be able to do, but ask about, you know, well, give me an example when, and back to, you know, younger people, this is why even with a limited amount of work experience, you can still give some really good examples, you know, and be creative, be innovative in terms of what you have done, because a lot of jobs you have, you apply a lot of skills, but in different industries, they're the same skills.
So transferable skills.
Exactly.
Mm, absolutely.
And then if I've got time, my final one is an induction program.
Right, okay.
One of the programs that most people forget, so, and I've been through this myself many a time. Oh, Jackie, you've arrived today. Oh, yeah. Here, read this, because I'm just going to an interview. And you turn up on your first day feeling completely out of place, not really knowing what you're doing. And read some research very recently that said 22% of people actually decide and do leave within 45 days of joining companies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's staggering.
So if you think one in four of your recruits will decide, that's it. So first impressions do count.
Both ways. Yeah.
Make sure you really plan for it. And a good induction program should start from the day the person signs the contract, because what normally happens is you sign a contract and that's great. But if you're on a month's notice, you don't hear anything until the day you start. So, you know, make sure you're keeping contact with that person in that time. And then make sure you've got a really good plan in place for at least 6 months to really help integrate that person into the business. And the return on that for you as a business, it does feel like a lot of time you're investing, but you will get that person delivering business performance a lot quicker.
Fantastic tips. We could talk about this forever.
I could.
Sadly we're running out of time. Jackie, tell our listener how they can get hold of you, how they can find out more about Dakota Blue and about Jackie Brooker.
Absolutely. So you can go to my website, which is www.dakotablueconsulting.com. My email is j.brooker@dakotablueconsulting.com. You can find me on Twitter. So would love any new Twitter followers. I try to give tips like this on my Twitter, which is @DakotaBlueHR. I'm on LinkedIn, so you can find me, Jackie Brooker, on LinkedIn. And my telephone number is 07419 195613.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's been
you.
An absolute pleasure to talk to you. All of those links are on the Kent Business Radio website, so you can follow up with that. We've had three or four tweets that I've got round to. I've got a dozen more that I haven't read yet. Where are we? Barrister Broker is saying, fantastic examples and tips there. Sean Murphy, really enjoyed that. Oh, Bridger Howes, interesting comments from Don Ask for Life on the Business Bunker show, re-involving employees in coalface strategy. So you can read all these tweets for yourself, but loads of people tweeting in about both of you and your contribution to this. So thank you so much for that, Jackie. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and hear from you on the Business Bunker show. And do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. We haven't got that much longer left.
But I've got lots of chocolates to have.
Yeah.
Got a whole box of Lindt Dior.
Lee has been back on again to quantify some of the things I was saying earlier, because they've now got a different set that they want. Lee is from Ancorin's Football Club. Yeah.
Right.
And he's gone, great show so far, guys. Thank you. But we're actually looking for girls in school year 5 and 6 now, because they want to form a new girls under 10 team.
Okay, so year 5 and 6, is that 11? I've lost track.
Well, if it's under 10, I would imagine it's 8 and 9.
Oh, it's, yeah, yeah.
Just a guess.
Duh. I was thinking of secondary school, but that would be 15, wouldn't it?
I've no idea.
Year 5 and 6? I don't know.
No, I didn't do that, so I don't know.
No, you didn't stay.
No.
And you weren't a girl anyway. Well.
Hey, you don't know that.
No.
You're just making assumptions.
Possibly.
If I'd have been at girls' school, I probably would have stayed, to be quite frank.
Sometimes, on occasion, you are quite frank.
Absolutely. Really.
There's a
Go on.
There's a Kent Healthy Business Award. You can look at your Twitter while I do this.
Good, thank you.
Can you catch up? There's a free business breakfast, and it's about improving economic performance through people and environment. And it's work towards a healthier business. You can hear our listeners tucking, our guest tucking in to the Lindt door now. Good job it's not Frere Rocher, otherwise it must be doing well. Kent Healthy Business Award is Kent County Council's free self-assessment framework. You'll have to walk a few more miles, Paul Andrews.
I've got a chocolate.
Kent Healthy Business Award is Kent County Council's free assessment framework, self-assessment framework. And you can demonstrate commitment to well-being and sustainability, and your business could reap the benefits of a healthier workforce and automatically qualify for eligibility for the government's Health at Work Awards, which is being launched this year. You can click on the dates below, well, you can't, but you can click on the Business Bunker ones and fill in the online application form. So the next dates to network with these is Tuesday the 10th of February at the Coniston Hotel Sittingbourne, Thursday 26th of February at the Mercure Hotel Pembury, and Wednesday the 11th of March at the Mercure Hotel Maidstone. And you can go on to kentinvictorchamber.co.uk for events, and there is a phone number which is 01 233 503 8 38, and again look at the Kent Business Radio website for after to find out more.
Cool. We had a tweet from Miriam saying, really enjoying the show. Great tips from Jackie Brooker, and really enjoyed the mentoring talk from Don. So, going down a storm, chaps.
As are the chocolates.
And we've had a tweet from a new listener called Adrienne Robbins, who said, just heard about your seminar and I've booked my place.
Oh.
So there you go. I'm not sure which seminar, but...
What do they do? Can you tell? You click and I'll read. Women in Business Spring Luncheon. This is Tuesday the 24th
PR
of March.
Director.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
I wonder what they've gone on to. You know, which seminar? Tuesday the 24th of March, this is at Eastwell Manor, it's one of my favourite haunts. So do we have a great Women in Business luncheon for you, lively, fun and informative with lots of networking. The two amazing speakers, they've got Denise Barnes from the Catwalk to Estate Agency.
Denise has been on the Business
Bunker. She has. What was the name of her company? You've got a brain like an elephant, you should remember.
Yeah, it's something Barnes. Estate agents.
And then also Julianne P. Onan, Failure Comes from Not Getting Up. And she's got a degree in business management and finance.
Very obvious.
So she's worked in Beijing for an investment banking firm. and she's now the owner of
King's North Barns, isn't it?
Of Creative Nature. Creative Nature. It's a superfood brand. So you need to phone. There's a phone number for this. 01732 758 730. And it's £29.50 plus VAT, two course luncheon with coffee on arrival. So that's at Eastwell Manor, 24th of March.
We've had a tweet from Bridger House, the PR and media company.
Hello.
And we've also had, just to say they're listening in and enjoying the show, Ursula O'Regan has also tweeted in to say that they're enjoying the show.
She makes a lovely gluten-free chocolate cake.
Really?
Yeah, she does. Don't you remember at Miriam's?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I had a tranche or two. There's an announcement here from Creston Reeves. They say that they had, they've renamed as Creston Reeves. So who were they before?
Reeves.
So Reeves, okay. So they're saying they've now renamed as Creston Reeves.
Cool. That took some thinking up.
The financial planning and corporate finance arms have renamed Creston Reeves. Financial planning.
Reeve.
And Creston Reeves, they've written.
Reeves, yeah.
Corporate finance. You're just going to say Reeve and Reeves to me the whole time I read this. They've said... They're doing this to reflect the membership of the global Creston network of independent accounting firms, and they want to highlight their commitment to meeting their clients' increasing international requirements. So it doesn't, they say, please note there's no alteration to the ownership of Reeves or any merger. So as part of this rename, they've also launched a new website and logo. So to find out more, www.crestonreeves.com. And that's from the lovely Clive Stevens, who's the executive chairman.
Woohoo.
And that was Paul Andrews rustling his papers.
Sorry, I've got loads of papers to read. We've got only 15 minutes or so left of the show, and we've got loads of things to get to, and people are still piling in with tweets. And I've got a dozen...
I've read all mine.
Have you? Okay.
Diligent, you see,
Jackie. What I'm going to do now is a roundup of a load of news provided by the Federation of Small Business, which is why we've got quite a few things that are all related in a similar way.
Yes.
Hold on, I'm just sorting them out.
While you sort that, I'll read this.
Yeah.
Treasury seeking views for 2015 budget. So HM Treasury is seeking views and suggestions about what would be included in the Chancellor's 2015 budget, or what should be, I should say. And so if you have submissions, send them to the Treasury for consideration by the 13th of February in preparation for the delivery of the budget on the 18th of March. No doubt Rift Accounting will have some ideas. So you go to budget.representations@hmtreasury.gs.gov.uk.
Cool. Thank you for that. We've had another tweet from the lovely Alex Waterston, who said about Jackie's tips on staff inductions. He says they're an excellent way for covering IT and internet and email policies as well in a company that you're joining. Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
I'm a bit worried because Don's just refused the chocolate.
Wait.
Jackie never refuses chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. Right, the Federation of Small Business has a card payment processing service, and it's a service provided by Worldpay, and it helps your business grow, and with exclusive discounted rates for FSB members. It could reduce your costs too. Worldpay is the UK and Europe's number one payment provider, and the FSB's partner of choice when it comes to card processing. Each business is individual, and Worldpay makes it easy for you to accept card payments in a way that suits you, whether face-to-face, online, or over the telephone. With exclusive discounted payment packages for FSB members, whether you're in an existing contract or new to accepting card payments, they'll find a payment solution and price plan that's right for you. It's simple to get started with Worldpay. Their expert team will guide you through the process so you're ready to start accepting card payments as quickly as possible. If you'd like to know more about accepting credit card payments for your business, then you can go to the FSB Card Processing website, which is www.fsbcardprocessing.co.uk. That's fsbcardprocessing.co.uk. If you become a member of the Federation of Small Business, you can get discounted rates for using it too. What's not to like?
You've suddenly gone all Jewish. What's not to like?
Well, you keep calling me Fagin anyway, so I might as well go with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, go on, read an email. There's another one there.
Tuesday, March the 10th, 6 p.m, Federation of Small Business have a networking event in Dartford. Not in the tunnel, hopefully. Tuesday, March the 10th, 6 to 7.30. It's at the Nucleus Building and Innovation Centre. And everyone's welcome. And we'll put details of that on Kent Business Radio after the show.
Cool.
Just to say that the Proper Tea Company, I don't know whether I mentioned him, is available for all your corporate events and tea tasting. It's theproperteacompany.co.uk.
Cool, thank you very much.
Peter Wiggins.
I'm trying to find a tweet that came... Oh, there it is. A couple of things I want to tell you about, and this is a bit of a personal plea. As I mentioned earlier, I am incredibly proud and pleased to have been appointed as president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society charity. And there's two things that we're up to that we'd like you to support. Currently, as of Monday, in most of Kent... We are one of the charities of choice in Waitrose. So if you're going to do your shopping in Waitrose, and I suggest you do for this week at least, you get a green token which you can donate to the Kent Deaf Children's Society. And at the end of our month there, what they do is they add up each of the tokens that the three organisations that they're supporting have been awarded, and then they split a fund between the three.
Oh, that's good.
And
yeah.
I think it's £1,000, and then they split it in proportion to how you voted with your green tokens.
When you go out, yeah, you can put them in.
Yeah, you put your tokens in. Yeah. So what I suggest you do is you go in there, buy a loaf of bread or a pint of milk, grab a dirty great fistful of green tokens and put them all in the Kent Deaf Children's Society. And you can do that because we taped up the other two anyway. No, we didn't really.
It'd be a good idea, though, to do that.
And then the other thing that I want to bring to your attention that KDCS are involved in is an Easter egg extravaganza,
which
is taking place at Western Hanger Castle.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I've got to go over here because it's in very small print. The Kent Deaf Children's Society, in association with Western Hanger Castle, are planning an Easter egg hunt.
I couldn't eat one now after all those chocolates.
You've got plenty of time to work up to it because it's not until Sunday the 29th of March. But follow KDCS.org, or one word, KDCS.org on the Twitter, or SP Wedding Events, SP Wedding Events, which is Western Hanger Castle, and you can find out more details about that Easter egg hunt that's coming up in association with the Kent Deaf Children's Society.
I'm going to go next Tuesday and see her moat.
Are you?
The council's reminded about rate relief for childcare. So the Department for Communities and Local Government, that's the DCLG, and they've written to local authorities in England encouraging them to offer business rate relief to childcare providers. The letter, which follows a request from Childcare Minister Sam Gyimah, G-Y-I-M-A-H, urges finance officers to consider using their powers to provide relief to childcare providers where there's a clear community benefit, and reminds them that central government will fund 50% of any discount granted. The average rateable value of nurseries, around £30,000, means most are excluded from England's Small Business Rate Relief, SBRR, scheme.
Fantastic. Back to the Federation of Small Business. On Friday, February the 20th at 12 p.m, there's a Grow Your Business with an Apprentice workshop at the Innovation Centre at Medway. That's in City Way, Rochester, at the Innovation Centre Medway. February the 20th, 12 till 2 p.m, Innovation Centre Medway on the Maidstone Road at Rochester. Don't just hear from your local council about the benefits of employing an apprentice. Hear from an apprentice and an employer too. So do go along, find out about the value of apprenticeships. More and more and more and more small and medium-sized enterprises are hiring apprentices. Over 500,000 apprentices have hired in the last 12 years. 82% of them were retained and given full-time employment on the completion of their apprenticeship in the last set of figures, which is massive.
Yeah, that is high.
Which is massive. It's massively high. It's a fabulous scheme. It's worked out really well. And for those of you that have heard people moaning a bit about it, please don't, because life has changed since your grandparents did an apprenticeship in shipbuilding or whatever it did. Yeah, and a lot of people moan now that there are apprenticeships in all kinds of weird and wonderful subjects. The fact is, you can do an apprenticeship in absolutely anything. And also, the government have just announced MVQ Level 6. And MVQ Level 6 is actually a BSc Honours Degree, or a BA Honours Degree level. So you can actually do an apprenticeship and get awarded a degree while doing the apprenticeship. So there's all kinds of things on offer. And get along on Friday, February the 20th, to the Innovation Centre in Medway and hear about the apprenticeship scheme and hear about it from the horse's mouth, i.e. an employer and an apprentice.
Why the long face?
Ha, ha, ha.
I've run out of emails. So
have
if you? Got any more,
I've got hundreds.
While
we're talking about employers, employers can reduce the amount of national insurance contributions, NICs, they pay for their employees by up to £2,000. It's called an employment allowance. And the employment allowance can be claimed any time after the 6th of April 2014, so from last April. You won't have to pay any employer national insurance contributions at all if you usually pay less than £2,000 in a year. So if one of your employees has less than £2,000 of NICs to pay for a period of time, you won't have to pay that. This affects up to 1.25 million businesses and charities, and they will benefit from the employment allowance, and around 450,000 businesses and charities won't have to pay any employer national insurance contributions at all. If you want to find out all about the scheme, then you need to go to www.gov.uk/employment-allowance. I'll give you that link again. www.gov.uk/employment-allowance and find out if you are eligible for a reduction in your employer's national insurance contributions. It's certainly worth finding out about that.
You can get advice on use of home tax deductions, and it's going to be extended. The use of home deductions, which are available to sole traders who use their home for business purposes, will be extended to business partnerships under amendments to tax legalisation in the finance bill of this year. The deductions allow business expenses incurred when using a home for business purposes to be offset against taxable income for 2015-16. And this amendment has been welcomed by the Association of Tax Technicians, ATT, as having the potential to make tax easier, quicker and simpler for taxpayers running small firms. And we all need that, don't we?
Absolutely. It always makes me laugh when you say sole traders.
Why?
I was thinking Voldemort or something like that, from Harry Potter.
Yeah, or shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it could be shoes. Yeah.
I've only seen one Harry
Potter. That would be cobblers though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, there is a sole trader shop, isn't there?
Oh, there is, actually. Yeah, yeah.
But because of my superior shows, of course, I always think of a bit of old fish flapping about. Soul. You know, that's what I think of.
There's so many opportunities there, isn't there? And I think I'll avoid all of them.
Or, of course, Al Green and Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Soul.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah, yeah.
If only you had an afro.
Yeah.
New
the
rates.
The queen of puns, thank you.
New rates. Guidance, this is my last email, Paul Andrew.
Is it?
New rates guidance for home-based business. And this is the Valuation Office Agency, the VOA, has updated its guidelines to help people running a home-based business understand whether they will be liable to pay council tax only or council tax and business rates. And circumstances when only council tax is applicable would include where only a small part of the home is used for business purposes. So that means everybody's going to cram into their little airing cupboards now, aren't they? Where the home-based business does not employ anyone else to work from the premises, and where goods are posted to customers rather than collected in person. And again, you can get details at www.gov.uk/government. And lots of forward slashes, council tax and business rates, home-based businesses. Much simpler to go to Kent Business Radio website, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Go there.
And find the link and we will put it out. We've had loads more tweets. We've had a tweet from the lovely Adrian at AK Pet Services.
Listening in.
He's listening in. You'd love it down here at the moment, Adrian. We've got a cage full of husky puppies outside.
Yeah. Well, he's told me not to pop one in my handbag.
Did he?
Yeah. But my whippet wouldn't approve.
I'm not surprised.
No.
I just looked at the photograph that you put out. Did you actually look for the viewfinder when you were taking that photograph?
Which photo?
The very first photo you took of the puppies outside.
Why?
I just suggest you look at what the dog in the middle is doing.
Really?
Yeah. Just a little nod.
I will have a look. Yeah. Well, you know, I have to get my glasses out, my bag. It all gets...
To be fair to her, there are 11 puppies in a cage outside.
So one of them's picking its nose or something.
It is indeed.
It's like when I used to do PR for private schools. There was always one child picking its nose in every photo.
Yeah, but that was his job. He was sent round to do that.
I'll have a look.
So Adrian of AK Pet Services has tweeted in. And for those of you who don't know, Adrian runs a fabulous service based primarily in Medway. It's a pet taxi and pet ambulance service. If your pet needs taking to the vets or taking to the animal hospital or taking to the kennels or collecting, then you can ring Adrian and he will do that for you. He is a licensed animal carrier and he does have the proper equipment for transporting your rhino. I'm not sure about that. I think I made that up. But he can certainly take Samson the parrot, your pet rat, your dog or your cat or your rabbit.
Or your snake.
Or your snake. So do get in touch with...
Or your soul.
Oh, you sold, yeah. AK Pet Services. You can follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is AK Pet Services. We've also had a tweet from Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes.
Queen of Cakes.
Queen of Cakes, a maker of the most gorgeous cakes, and Jules's one weakness, lemon drizzle cake.
Well, she made my wedding cakes for my new husband and I.
Mm. Did she indeed?
Yeah.
Cool.
We had lemon, as you've asked, lemon drizzle cupcakes in a tower with chocolate ones with huge Kentish strawberries.
Sorry,
on
which
top.
Husband was this?
My new husband.
Oh, your new one.
Gavin
right.
Serkin, author and Frontier Funds.
Right. And, no, Frontier.
He also, yeah, but his Twitter handle is at Frontier Funds.
I know, they changed the name of the book after he did the Twitter handle. I know.
And see if you can just get at Frontier, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But she also made a replica of his banjo, which I smuggled out of the house.
That sounds like a euphemism, really, doesn't it?
Took it
they
round.
Made a replica of his banjo.
And then I smuggled it back, and he said, "Oh, who's moved my banjo?" And I said, "I don't know," because I hadn't put it in the right place.
Because he talks like that.
This cake was just the image of his banjo, so to speak. Wow. Was incredible. She's amazing. She also made the cakes for at On One Promotions. Paul Andrews.
Never heard of him.
You have. You love it.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Is that the lady from Geordie Shore?
Yeah, it is one of them.
Oh, okay.
They had lots of sort of ladies there, didn't they?
Absolutely. Whilst I'm talking about NICs, I've got another email about National Insurance contributions. There's changes to self-employed NICs have been announced. Further details of changes to National Insurance contributions for the self-employed have been released by HM Revenue and Customs. They must have nothing to do at this time of year. They keep releasing new stuff. The Chartered Institute of Taxation has reported the changes which were announced in the 2014 budget will result in self-employed taxpayers paying Class 2 NICs via self-assessment from April 2016. HMRC will also make budget payment plans available to taxpayers who pay NICs by direct debit and are up to date with their payments, which will help spread the cost of their contributions. HMRC has also announced that from the 6th of April 2015, Class 2 NICs will only be mandatory if the self-employed taxpayer has profits above the small profit threshold. The small profit threshold will replace the small earnings exception the small earnings exception limit.
You carry on, Paul.
Are you taking photographs?
No, we're laughing at this dog. We've just found it.
Oh, you found it?
What
yes.
was he doing? Is that anal glands? Or
oh,
you know,
do me.
You know,
do me a favour,
drag
will you?
Themselves along on their bottom. Is that?
You took the photo. I just pointed it out that you may well have cared to have looked at what you photoed, what you photographed, and then shared with the world.
Yeah, that could be your new mascot.
Yeah, it could well be. But luckily, we are at the end of the programme, so we can kind of gloss over that and
Sugar
move
rush.
On.
Sugar rush.
It's been really good sharing a couple of hours with you all out there in the Kent business world.
We're passing around pictures of people's... this is Donald's dog.
I'm oh, is it? I so hope he's not doing what your dogs were doing.
No, no, Donald's dog looks lovely.
Right. Good. Thank you for
sorry
that.
Sorry to interrupt. Carry yeah. on.
Anyway, what I was trying to say...
Our sponsors...
Are you quite finished?
Yeah, sponsor.
What I was trying to say is a big sponsor, a big thank you to today's show sponsors, who have been Fruit Bowl Media, Rift Group, and the Federation of Small Business. Thank you so much for your support and your encouragement. We really do appreciate it, and it really does help us to carry on keeping on doing what we do. Coming up later on Channel Radio today, we have at 3 o'clock. The Beatles Would Be On with Pete Dick. At 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with the Craig Avery Show.
There's a queue forming.
Yeah. At 7 o'clock, we have Beer, Birds, Balls and Bands, the boys down the pub. Phil and Jonathan will be back.
Possibly a baby.
Possibly a baby involved in there somewhere as well. But
must
more
be
likely
sitting up by now, that baby.
But more likely a lot of banter down the pub. Yep. So the boys down the pub will be on at 7 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, Mr. Jamie Andrews with 18 specially hand-picked, chosen new music tracks for your delight on the New Potatoes Show. We'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to today's two guests, Mr. Don Baker of Aspirations for Life.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Don. Thank you so much for joining us. The absolutely delightful Jackie Brooker of Dakota Blue Consulting.
Thank you very much, Paul. And
it's
Jules.
Been an absolute pleasure to have both of you on the show and to share a couple of hours talking about your expertise and experiences, and you'd be welcome back anytime you like. Thank you to all of those people that tweeted, emailed and didn't ring in, but we never have ring-ins now, do we?
Well, very we can't rare. Tell, we could never yeah. see the flashing light.
No, I can, but no, it's much easier to tweet in and to email in. Do keep your tweets and emails coming in. We will be back with you next week on the Business Bunker Show. Do stay tuned for the rest of the day to channelradio.co.uk. In the meantime, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. We will be back with you on the Business Bunker Show next week.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.